a footnote in my autobiography, May 14th, 2006. And we're in Vanessa's kitchen in North Petersham on Margaret Street in the 17th of May 2007. After Vanessa's cooked a delicious vegetarian shepherd's pie. Vegan, in fact.
Yeah. Thank you.
Vanessa says, "You never seem to remember your dreams in Petersham. But this morning, two small dreams stick with me. In one, my friend Anna emails me a very long story about her life. It's a convoluted and difficult tale, but I can't see any reference within it to Petersham. She now lives in Glebe. And then I find it, one tiny sentence, a footnote in her autobiography. From age 1 to 9, I lived in Petersham. In the second dream, I bump into Rowan on the street just outside my gate. My flatmate found your blog, he says, and he wanted to say how much he admires you. His face is flushed and smooth, rosy cheeks, hairless like a waxwork model of himself. A breakfast date with Helen and Barbara at the Big Brekkie. We shift the table around in the sun. Both Barbara and I want to have the feeble autumn light touch our exposed skin. But Helen needs shade. It's like having a vampire to breakfast, I joke. An image comes to mind of Spike, the vampire in Buffy, running through the streets with a blanket over his head, body steaming in the broad daylight. I can't remember why, but at a certain point in the conversation, Helen declares, 50% less effort. It's something her Zen teacher has advised. That makes sense, I think. But I forget to follow it up.
While we're eating, Heather and Polly and Nay, my neighbours from around the corner, show up. I haven't seen Heather since our frisbee escapade. That seems like weeks ago now. Since the first attempt at a dinner invite fell through, they invite me around once again. We've still got that pumpkin you gave us. We'll make soup, says Heather. It occurs to me that if I'd known it was going to take so long to cook up that pumpkin, I could have left it growing in the ground. It'd be twice as big by now. I walk with Barbara down to Cass Brothers Plumbing Supplies. She needs a wide PVC pipe to roll up some fragile prints for transport. On the way, a text message comes through from Vanessa. Made stunning apple pie yesterday. If you are nearby today, you're welcome to stop by and have some. This is great. I've been wanting Barbara and Vanessa to meet. Barbara is about a third of the way through a demanding project in which she must do a webcast every night at sunset for 1,001 nights. The text for each online performance is donated by a different writer each day. It's a delicate balancing act for Barbara, coordinating all those writers, without whose textual gifts her project would collapse. And I reckon Vanessa, with her prolific, dare I say obsessive, output, would be a perfect contributor. The apple pie is indeed stunning. It has a delicate balance of spices and just enough sultanas to make it interesting. Vanessa says she has cold hands, which Barbara notes is a good thing for a pastry chef.
Now, there are 5 responses to a footnote in my autobiography. One comes from Worthless Half Brother.
Who's Worthless Half Brother? Is he your
That's
half
my brother, Josh, yeah. Is he your There's half always son? A joke that I'm the Worthless Half Brother, because the Worthless Half Brother is somehow less valued in the family.
Where does worthless come from? Just an expression.
I can't remember. I mean, I suppose it just is a qualifier for the idea of having a half. The half brother is, you know,
obviously hanging around.
The pedigree is less pure.
Mm. What does he say?
He quotes, "Vanessa says she has cold hands, which Barbara notes is a good thing for a pastry chef." I recently saw a Japanese cartoon dedicated to the story of a boy who discovers the joy of baking bread. Kazuma has magical hands of the sun, whose warmth makes them particularly suited to making bread. It's pretty over the top. I will have to send it to you, Luca. And then he links to a picture of Kazuma's grandfather, who tastes his special bread for the first time. Oh. Hands of the sun. So I suppose he has warm hands, which are good for baking bread, whereas yours are cold hands, good for pastry.
Pastry, yeah. It needs to be kept chill.
The next comment is from Tully.
Tully. Tully says, "Well then, well then, well then. A bunch of us listened to you on the radio. We waited for the explanation of how this is art. We are still split. We're going to need slides." And you reply.
Reply, Invite me round to dinner, and ye shall have your slides served up with an explanation.
Next comment is from me. It says, that's you singular, not you plural. As in, Lucas does not remember his dreams. I think that's a reference to you quoting me saying, you never seem to remember your dreams in Petersham.
You weren't meaning one never remembers one's dreams.
Yes.
You meant me specifically.
Yes. Thought I had to clear that up for some reason. I do, however. Is reading other people's dreams interesting? Sometimes I think yes, sometimes no. Looking out my window, Petersham has changed into a suburb with square fibro houses surrounded by ramshackle yards. In front of one house, a dragon made out of wire and coloured plastic strips rises out of a pile of rusting metal. The only cars parked along the street are taxis. Taxi drivers walk around with their coin holders, negotiating which taxi to choose. From my window, the houses across the street appear very close, as if I am looking through binoculars. One man is sitting on the end of his bed and filming himself talking. He turns to me and nods. I feel embarrassed that he has noticed me because I am spying and also because of my strange clothing, red fishnets and a large red-checked men's business shirt. Nevertheless, I leave the house in this outfit. The houses on my street are filled with people. One has been made into a makeshift church. In another, some kind of working bee is going on inside. At another, people shuffle through large piles of CDs. In one of the houses, Lucas is sitting with a group of people on plastic chairs. The ones you find in high schools. I call them bucket chairs, but don't know if anyone else does. The light is yellow, like in a photograph taken in low light. Lucas says, I don't know that there's anything more to Parramatta Road, and some other things I can't remember. I leave and have a fight with a group of Harajuku girls in an alleyway behind my street. They are dressed elaborately, like they've just stepped from Fruits magazine. They are winning, but I manage to somehow throw them all over a back fence, where I know there is a swimming pool full of mud, and escape.
That's a great dream.
It's quite intensely detailed. Wow.
Many different aspects to that. The swimming pool full of mud.
I know it's there. Can't see it? No, it's there.
And I like the thing that I say. I don't know that there's anything more to Parramatta Road.
Yeah, I really like it too. Yeah. Must have been very distinct in the dream for me to remember it.
And there's a final comment here from Tully who says, all right, working on the dinner invite. Meanwhile, want to go take some photos on Friday? I'm in the mood for some cross-processing.
Oh, as we all are at some time in our lives, Tully.
Yes.